Hello, this is Pastor Galen from Chicago First Church, and welcome to our podcast. Before we hear the message today, I simply want to say that no matter where you're listening from, we're glad that you're here. We hope that the message will inspire you, instruct you, and help you grow in your relationship with Jesus. If you live in the Chicago area, maybe this podcast could be your first step to joining us at C1 in person sometime, or in our online community that meets every Sunday at c1naz.org/live. Well, thanks again for joining us today. We hope you enjoy the message, and more importantly, we pray that you would experience God and that you're encouraged today.
Romans 15:13. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him. There's more to that sentence than we recognize sometimes. There's a process there. It doesn't say, may the God of hope just drop hope on you, but may he fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. The process there is real. May the God of hope, and our God is a God of hope, fill you with all joy and peace so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Spirit. I don't know where your hope meter is today, but my prayer is that by the end of this service that it will have moved a number or two. Pastor Galen introduced this series, Empowered, last week with the question, when was the time, and I kind of rearranged the question, but essentially it's the same question. When was the last time you felt powerless, when it didn't seem as if there was any way to move forward, when you didn't know how something was going to work out? He brought us into a moment in his life when he felt powerless and told us a story of one of their first dates when they went to Target. Yes, that's Justine and Galen, and I don't know why he thought this picture wasn't going to show up again, because it was bound to. No reason, no commentary, just thought you'd like to see it again. But seriously, he said something last week that I have never heard put exactly this way. And it's important enough that I went back into the video and I rewatched that part of the message. And he said this: when you try to satisfy the infinite human spirit with the finite things around it, you will always end up empty. Think about that. We're talking about power now. We're talking about empowered, what it means and how that lands on us and whether we're hopeless or hopeful. And he says that when you're trying to fill this infinite human spirit that is in you, God has put, the Proverbs writer says, eternity into the hearts of humanity. And when you try to fill that with something, even a hope that is based upon something finite, you will always wind up empty. When was the last time you felt powerless? 2020 can be one of those pretty vivid examples. We don't know for sure a whole bunch of things that are going on in our culture and context right now. Powerless means without ability, influence, or power. Powerless means I've come to a point where I recognize I can't fix it. I don't have the ability to solve this problem. Influence means I can't get anyone else to fix it either. And then without power, I can't pray it, faith it, or will it away. And we find ourselves feeling powerless. And God has called us to a place of being empowered. And we're going to talk about that today in the role that hope plays. First of all, the recognition of the limits of one's power is a sign of maturity. Let's just stop there for a minute and recognize that God didn't come, and the message of the gospel is not that you can do anything, anywhere, anytime. That's not it at all. As a matter of fact, as I have followed the Lord and grown, I have learned that I am not omnipotent, meaning all powerful. When I was younger, I wouldn't have said that I was, but I thought I was. And I discovered over the years that I am not omnipotent, but God is. That is clearly teaching from Scripture. But here's something else I've learned about this issue of power, and that is that God doesn't consult me about how he uses his omnipotence. He doesn't do that. Consequently, sometimes I don't understand. I don't understand why and how things happen, which prompts me every once in a while to say this. Sometimes I kind of wish he would. I mean, there's moments when I could, I mean, I get to vote in this election. I don't get to choose who's going to be the next leader of our country. And there's times when I kind of wish he would. When I did a funeral for two little girls who were trapped in a fire and crawled under their bed to escape, I kind of wish God had consulted me. But you don't go very far down that road before you realize that he's God and we're not. And we kind of back up and I begin to say, okay, God, not really, just kidding. Please don't think that I'm trying to subvert you. But still, we land there. If you faced a powerless situation with a loved one, it causes us questions. And this feeling of powerlessness can produce despair, anger, rage, blindness, weakness, panic, and ultimately hopelessness. And we are an empowered people, but we are not an omniscient or an omnipotent people. And learning how to live in that tension is incredibly important. And we have to have hope. Now, as we talk this morning about being empowered by hope, it is good for us to remember that hope is not a plan. Hope is not, sitting and waiting to win the lottery is not a plan. Hoping that somebody is going to come by and just do something for you that you could do or need to do for yourself is not a plan. And hope is not a strategy. Let's just see what happens. But without it, without hope, there is fuel for neither strategy nor plan. To be empowered, to sense that you were empowered, to not be a perpetual victim in this day and age especially, is to be a person who understands the power of a godly hope. Matthew chapter 6, verse 22 and 23, Jesus is talking to the folks and he's saying that your perspective, the way that you look at things, sometimes we look at things and we think we have them all figured out and we think we know what's right and we think we know what others should do. And he says in this passage, both here and in Matthew, that if your worldview, if the way you're viewing things is dark and you think it's light, then there's darkness on the inside. If our eyes are unhealthy, if our perspective is unhealthy, our whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness? And when hope is extinguished, when we fail to realize that though we're not omnipotent, we are empowered, if we're not careful, the light inside can go out. Hope must be anchored to be effective. What is your hope? We're talking about being empowered now. What is your hope anchored in? Hope with no foundation is toxic. I remember a few years ago, I was talking to a young man who was graduating from high school, and I asked him what he wanted to do in the future, and he said, play professional baseball. And I said, well, that'd be awesome. That's a great dream. Did you play high school baseball? And he said, nope. Said, are you signed up to go play college baseball? Nope. Said, but I play in some leagues. And his thought was that somewhere out there, he was going to be discovered. That is not a healthy hope. A hope that is healthy has some kind of foundation to it, because faith has a foundation to it. Faith is not just us wishing something or imagining something. We can have a hope that is anchored. And I want us to go back and walk along with two disciples of Jesus, two followers of Jesus, who are walking away at a time when their hopes, they feel like, have been had. Have you ever been had? Now, that's a phrase, I looked this up, from the early 1800s. I don't know exactly where it came from, but if you were cheated or you were deceived or you were just wrong, you were had. And that colloquialism lives today. We still say that. And these are two followers of Jesus who had committed, and they were in, and then something happened, and they gave up. And their hopes, they feel like, had been had, and I'll prove it to you in a minute. Now, that same day, this is Resurrection Day. Jesus has risen from the dead. But it hasn't connected with these two followers. Now that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus. They were going to Emmaus from Jerusalem. The miracle is in Jerusalem. History is changing in Jerusalem, and they're walking away from it. They were talking with each other about everything that had happened. As they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them, but they were kept from recognizing him. He asked them, "What are you discussing together as you walk along?" They stood still, their faces downcast. It was one of those moments where he's like, "Wait, what?" One of them, named Cleopas, asked him, "Are you the only one visiting Jerusalem who doesn't know the things that have happened there in these days?" "What things?" he asked. "About Jesus of Nazareth," they replied. "He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. The chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we had hoped." There's where your hopes are had. "We had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. And what is more, it is the third day since all this took place. And if I could stop there and look back over nearly 30 years of ministry, so many times there were situations and circumstances where individuals set out to follow God and set out to answer a calling, set out to do something extraordinary, and what they thought was supposed to happen didn't, and they ended up walking away because their hopes had been had. And what is more, it is the third day since all this took place." Now, notice before I leave this what their hope was. Their hope that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. There's a context for that, and I'll get there in a moment. In addition, some of our women amazed us. They went to the tomb early this morning but didn't find his body. They came and told us that they had seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. Then some of our companions went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but they did not see Jesus. He said to them, "How foolish you are and how slow to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Did not the Messiah have to suffer these things and then enter his glory? And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in the scriptures concerning himself." As they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus continued on as if he were going farther. But they urged him strongly, "Stay with us, for it is nearly evening. The day is almost over." So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he disappeared from their sights. Now, theologians differ about exactly what happened here, whether it was reminiscent of the Last Supper, which undoubtedly it might have been, or whether when he stretched those hands out and they saw the scars, that was what the Holy Spirit used to open their eyes. Whatever, he disappeared from their sight. They asked each other, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us?" They got up and returned at once to Jerusalem. Yeah, you're not supposed to be on that road after dark. Didn't matter. They were headed back. It's the end of a day and we're tired. Doesn't matter. We're going back. There they found the 11 and those with them assembled together saying, "It is true. The Lord has risen and has appeared to Simon." Then the two told what had happened on the way and how Jesus was recognized by them when he broke the bread. And hopes that were had are turned around. Now, hopes must be anchored, we said, to be effective. What is your hope anchored in? And for these followers of Jesus, out of all the things that he had taught and all that he had done, they had centered in and they had anchored their hope that he was going to redeem Israel. And I don't do any violence to the text, I think, when I say that he was going to redeem Israel now. That he was going to get Rome off their back. That he was going to deal with some of these issues that are all around and the wicked that were all around and all of those things. And when he didn't do that thing, their hopes were had. And they almost missed the bigger miracle. What's your hope anchored in? Calculated certainties? In other words, if I do this, God will do this, and then this will work out. Or I've been praying, and this is going to happen. Is your hope anchored in preferred outcomes? Is our faith fragile so that if God has to jump through this hoop or this thing has to happen? That's where these disciples were. How about manipulated outcomes? If I can get these folks to do this, or if I can somehow make this happen, what is your hope anchored in? An order and events? Or maybe your own strength. I can just do this on my own. I talked about when I was a young man and wasn't omnipotent, wouldn't have told you I was, but I felt like there wasn't anything I couldn't do, and I was wrong. Hope needs to be anchored in something beyond what these things remind us of. Hope properly anchored in the Word of God. And I've gone different with it. I'm saying this a little differently than I normally have. When hope properly anchored in the Word of God and the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, will always hold firm. That hope will not slip away. You may let go, but it will not let go of you. And a hope properly anchored in the Word of God is not a hope that is just between me and God. To properly anchor hope in the Word of God, then it matters contextually. We don't do that by ourselves. We're part of community and tradition, and we understand and we come to understand with each other. And there's reason involved. This isn't it's just me and Jesus, and I'm gonna take my Bible and go off and do it. No, that's not a properly anchored hope in the Word of God. There's counsel that comes in there. And a hope properly anchored in the Trinity is an understanding that God is mystery. We know that. But it's anchored in the fact that he's God. Now, this is my friend Dave Everson, who's part of our church and on our worship planning team. This is him climbing a 650 sheet of ice off the side of a mountain in Utah. There's him at the top. If you want a better view of that, there he is. Dave Everson and Steve Spontak are two of the smartest people I've known. Dave is an incredible creative executive, and Dr. Spontak's a doctor, and these are two of the most amazing people I know, but this is what they do for fun. 65 stories up. I've talked to Dave on numerous occasions about what that's like. And he will talk to you. Matter of fact, he leads folks on some trips about once a year just to do some basic climbing, not this kind of stuff, about what he's learned about God and about himself. And in climbing, he reminds me that it's the bolts that make the difference. Now, I bought these this week on Amazon, had them sent to me, and I'm not going climbing anytime soon. But this is a bolt. And when you're climbing ice, they'll put screws in the ice, which still terrifies me, but they'll do that. But what they're looking for is the fact that you need to be attached to something. You need to be able to get a hold of something that's going to support your weight. It's going to support your weight in a difficult situation. If you think about that spiritually, support the weight of your doubt, the weight of your fear. There's all kinds of places you can go with that. But this particular bolt right here is what goes into rock. And you'll see over there on the other picture that they'll always put two of these in, and there are certain rules about them as climbers. These stay in. These were put up before you got there. And these are incredible holds that you can get a hold of, and they're called bolts, and it's the bolts that make the difference. So, when I think about what I'm bolted to as a believer, as a dad, as a friend, it is what I'm bolted to that will get me through the difficult times. It's what doesn't allow me to lose my hope, because my hope is anchored in relationship. Christian hope is anchored in relationship. These disciples are saved because of relationship. Because Jesus came to them, and in the midst of them letting go, even walking away and going a different direction, they were able to connect because they were in relationship and Jesus went and got them. Hope flows from faith, not from dreams, the kind of things that we come up with on our own, but from faith that God speaks into us and enables us to hang on. There's a difference between faith, because faith has put ourselves in a position where we're counting on God. Hope feeds on knowledge. I want to learn everything I can about who Jesus is. I want to learn everything I can about the history of how God has moved. I want to learn everything I can from people around me and from the way God moves in their heart. Hope grows with experience. I'm sure the first time that you connect, there's that wasp. I got him. Been 2 years trying to kill that wasp. Not the same wasp. All right. I'm feeling good now, man. If I start to get lightheaded. The first time that you do this, that's got to be terrifying, right? But you do it long enough and you learn to trust the bolt. Not yourself, but the bolt you're able to climb. That's why a walk with God over time is so important. That's why being part of a community of faith for a length of time is so important. That's why being part of a life group, because you learn from the experience of others and you can learn that you can count on these things. With regard to your finances, when you do what God's told you to do, you can count on God. With regard to how you're growing in faith when you are anchored. But if you're not anchored to faith, what are you anchored to? What are we anchored to? Hope is guarded by truth. There is this thing that happens in my head and in my heart. There's a lot of things that happen in my head, but there's this one thing that happens that I don't remember deciding that this is what I'm going to do when something difficult comes, or when I get blindsided, or when it feels like the rug is pulled out from under my feet. I don't remember deciding this is how I'm going to react, this is what I'm going to do. But it happens when those moments come. When my daughter was 12 years old and the doctors couldn't figure out what was wrong with her, and they sent her to Children's Hospital and we didn't know what the outcome was going to do, this thing happened. And I can remember that moment. When my son Nick, at 12 or 13, got on an airplane to go to Europe right at a year after 9/11. And I would have called it off just out of fear. But in counsel, as we talked with my wife and I talked together and we talked to Nick, we said, okay, go do this as a student ambassador. It's what I clung to. This has happened multiple times as a leader when I've blown it. When I made mistakes, I've done something. Oh man, I wish I hadn't have done it. There's another one, bring it. Multiple times when I've made mistakes as a leader and I just cling on to this. This has happened when other people have tried to blow it up for me. Ever felt sabotage in what you were doing? And you're going, what in the world is going on? And this thing would happen, I'm getting there, stay with me. It's this. This thought just comes to my head. What do I believe? I know what the doctor said. I know what's happening in real life. I know what the circumstances are. I get it. So now that I've defined reality, what do I believe? Sometimes it's in the midst of a difficult time. Here's what I believe. God is love. I'm hanging on that. God loves me. I'm hanging on. No one else might. You might not, but he does. God has a plan and a purpose. When I watch Nick get on that airplane at Jeremiah 29:13, I know the plans I have for you and the purposes I have for you, and however it turns out, God will be faithful. And it might not happen the way that I like, but I'd be better to step out on faith and say, Lord, my son belongs to you. Let's do this thing because you've called me to, than to try and avoid stepping out and just hang on the side of life's mountain. My dad in 2009, my sister in 2016, one of my best friends in 2017, my mom in 2018. Heaven is real. God's not finished yet. I could go on and on. Times that I've blown it. The Bible says if I confess my sin, he's faithful and just to forgive them. And so we have to understand the power of these bolts But if we don't have them, we will hang on the side of life's mountain. We will never, because anchored hope empowers obedience. Anchored hope says, okay, now I'm not talking about just being lackadaisical with Scripture and saying, Jesus, you told Peter to walk on water, so I'm going to walk on water. Yeah, don't grab a hold of that boat. If he tells you to, I guess you go ahead and do it, but you need to do it with a little bit of counsel in mind. That's not the kind of thing I'm talking about. I'm talking about getting a hold of something that will hold you in the midst of difficulty and empower you to be obedient. We have this hope as an anchor for the soul, Hebrews says, firm and secure. It enters the inner sanctuary behind the curtain where our forerunner Jesus has entered on our behalf. He has become a high priest forever. What Jesus did was put some bolts in the rock, right? Jesus put some bolts and he said, come follow me. Come follow me and I'll make you into, you can obey me when I call you to feed the 5,000 because I'm the rock. Jesus continually calls us. So here's the question. In a season when we're tempted to feel unempowered and we're tempted to feel powerless, and powerlessness causes us to do all kinds of stupid things because we're grasping. In that moment, what are your bolts? Whatever the outcome of the election is in a few weeks, what are the bolts that you're tied to? Do you know where they are? Are you teaching your children where the bolts are? Do they know what to cling to when the world turns upside down? Are you connected? The time to connect is before there's a fall. Far too often, we have a tendency to want to bolt ourselves to other people. Now listen, there's times I cry out for someone to throw me a rope. I hope that you do. But at the end of the day, I can't be bolted to you. There's times I like to throw ropes to people and I want to help people, I want to do all I can, but I'm not the bolt. This has got to be something that comes down at the end of the day between you and God and discerning, I am putting my faith in Jesus Christ. And when you do that, that's power, my friend. That's power. So we say, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. And when we overflow with hope, we can throw a rope to somebody who's falling. We can reach out to others and say, hey, I can give you a hand in the process. Empowered. It occurred to me, because I hadn't done this. I ask you the question, where are your bolts? I don't have a written list. I'm going to as a result of this process, but I haven't. It occurred to me as I began to make my list that not one of my single bolts is connected to my own righteousness. Something bad happens, that's okay, Brian. No. Not a single one of my bolts is connected to my own understanding. Not a single one of my bolts at the end of the day is placed in another person save the person of Jesus Christ. My bolt is not connected to a political party or to an outcome. If you're feeling powerless today, take some time and consider, what do you believe? What are the anchors in Scripture? And in belief in a heavenly Father, the shepherd of the sheep, his Son, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit who is here now. Oh yeah, that's a bolt. Jesus said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. That includes this moment. The Isaiah writer said, there'll be a voice behind you saying, this is the way, walk you in it. And there's times I said, all right, talk to me, nudge me, counsel me, guide me. That's what is available to us. May we never be a people, though there are times we blow it and I blow it. May we never be a people who give up hope when the anchors are there, that we might step out, climb the mountains that aren't, sometimes years ago we did a series that says, when the mountain doesn't move, because we pray about mountains moving. God, move this mountain. God, do this work. And there's times that he does, but there's other times that mountain, at least for me, is still there. When the mountain doesn't move, climb. That's a lot of life's adventures like that. But don't do it without proper anchors, for you are empowered. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for the power of hope that will enable us to step out, that will enable us to get up, that will enable us to turn around, that will enable us to keep going, that will revive us when we're almost gone. The power of hope that will enable us to never give up on others. The power of hope that will help us to see your goodness in the midst of great darkness. Empower us with your hope today. Guide us to the bolts individually for all of us in Scripture that you want us to anchor to. Help us to anchor properly and help us to look once again to our Heavenly Father, the great shepherd of our sheep, and the Holy Spirit who is present right here, right now. I ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
Thanks again for joining us on C1's podcast. If you're interested in your next step in growing your relationship with God, go to c1naz.org and click on Next Steps. There on our website, you can also find our service times and more information about our church. We'd also invite you to subscribe to our podcast so you'll always have the newest episodes. And feel free to share today's podcast with a friend who might need to hear it. Thanks again for joining us, and have a good day.